very nicely into our conversation this evening. Let's start, Chris. Well, it's like another day at the moment, another day, another big silly figure being bandied around to do with footballers. And this time, Kylian Mbappe is worth how much?
£160 million. That is the story. If it's been Neymar who has been dominating, certainly the column inches in the world of football over the past week or so with his proposed move, world record move to PSG today, it is all about a boy who is just 18 years of age. He had his big breakthrough last season, 26 goals in 44 games for AS Monaco, the French champions over there, Ligue 1. I know you're a fan, of course, of French.
I am. I'm a fan of you talking about it.
Ligue 1, not Ligue 2 in this case. It is Ligue 1, the top division over there in France. And reports coming out of both Spain and France this afternoon that Real Madrid are ready to bid £160 million for a boy who does not turn 19 until the 20th of December of this year.
Where does this end, Chris? I know you've probably had this discussion numerous times on The Grill and on Sports Tonight. Where does this end? Because the figures just keep getting crazier and crazier. And now also, you tend to get a main figure and then they talk about all these add-on deals.
Yes.
They don't even give you the whole real figure. You never see the whole picture
anymore.
That,
and that is the case with this Mbappe deal, or this deal that is being reported this afternoon, that it will be £140 million up front, and we believe it's in another £20 million in add-ons, incentives. So if Real Madrid are successful with Mbappe during his contract at the club, then of course AS Monaco do bank more of that funds. You ask where it ends. It was a question we put to Daniel Guy, a London-based sports lawyer, on Monday Night Football last night, and he couldn't really give us an answer either, because more young stars, more young kids, more talented young kids are born. If they have the talent of a Messi, of a Ronaldo, the fees just keep going up and up and up. And where does it all end? It's a question that there is no real answer to it just now. Football was riding a crest of a wave, monetary-wise, the likes of which we haven't seen. Mark Archer, who will be with me on Sports Tonight this evening, he's made the point in the last couple of days that, well, compared to NBA, you look at some of the sums that are going out for NBA players. I mean, we just saw a couple of weeks back, didn't we, Steph Curry signing a new deal worth hundreds of millions of dollars for him in just salary. So compared to other sports, football can be comparable, I mean, to an NBA, an NFL, for example, but it's where it ends. And, you know, we're talking now about a player who could potentially be worth $200 million. When are we going to see the first player worth $500 million? We're talking about £500,000 a week in wages. When are we going to be talking about £1 million a week in wages? That is where we're getting to.
Oh, it's astonishing, but it makes you think, is it ever going to put the fans off? Is it ever going to get to a stage where the fans are going to go, this is ridiculous?
It's starting to, Sally. Not certainly en masse, but there are one or two friends that I have, certainly here in Dubai and across the world, back in Scotland. They've turned their back on an awful lot, whether it be a Sky Sports subscription, Sky Sports being the host broadcaster in the UK, whether it's turning their back on teams they've supported from a young age.
Because the tickets are so much.
Tickets are too much. There's a real disconnect now. There's a disenfranchisement with it all, because before, you used to feel part of something. It used to be a club that would be close to you for numerous reasons, whether you were brought up with your family supporting the club, whatever it may be. Now, though, there is such a big divide and disconnect that some football fans, and I know a few, who would rather turn out to watch their local club because that is where football started. Let's not forget, football was, back in the day, a working class sport. It was a way for people to have a
community sport.
Exactly. Getting away from the work, go out there and perform with your friends and have a laugh. Mm. It's removed so far from that now that some people are choosing to go down to the local football club because there is a real sense of belonging to that, where you don't necessarily have that if you're a Manchester United, a Real Madrid or a Barcelona fan.
And it's not a cheap thing to be a football fan anymore, is it? The tickets to get in, let's say I could take Premier League or any of the top European leagues, the tickets to get in, the merchandise, if you want to wear a shirt. I mean, they're extortionate, aren't they?
I use the football shirts as a wonderful example. And again, I'm not old by any stretch of the imagination, if you can call 30 old or not. But I remember strips being about, or kits being £40, £45, which is still a considerable amount of money. I went back to the UK for Manchester United game last season. £80, £85 you're now paying in order to have the
so
names.
So that's like more than
back.
400 dirhams.
Yes,
yeah.
More than 400 dirhams for your replica shirts. That is a 100% increase from when I was a young boy. And I know inflation and all of that, that's for business breakfast in the morning, but it is still a considerable amount. And if you've got a couple of kids...
Imagine, exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
Oh,
Yeah, and they change them every season, so they want the new version. 4001, if you've got anything to say on this, because it must be quite galling for people that are on much lower wages to see what they're earning and knowing that they can't quite afford to get into that match. I mean, it's a debate you could go on about forever, because in the end, they're paid in measure with what they sell in terms of merchandise for the clubs, the football, the money that comes from TV. They'd probably say they deserve those figures.
Well, that is where, and I've got a lot of friends in football, and that's the argument that they make, that they are the commodities, therefore the players, the money should trickle down in theory. My issue with it all is, though, with all of these massive TV deals that have been signed off, both at a domestic level and an international level, where is the fan benefiting from all of that? The clubs are spending copious amounts of money, extravagant sums on these players, but it's the fan that should be profiting from this. If they're getting all of this money from your Sky Sports and your other broadcasters around the world, surely that should ensure that a fan to get into, and I'm talking Premier League here, let them pay £10, £15. Don't keep charging the fans £45, £50. If you go to London, there's some London clubs charging £80. That's just to get in.
Oh my goodness.
It's
so I show my age now. I used to pay £7.50 as a junior Spur, which is about, I don't know, 40 dirhams, is it? Or something like that? 50 dirhams, maybe?
What can you get for £7.50?
You have to stand then, though, of course.
Let's move on to the pre-season friendlies, Chris. And an underwhelming one with Manchester United and Real Madrid.
Yes, indeed. That was a couple of nights ago. I was late, and I think it kicked off 1 a.m, so I was up till 3:30 a couple of nights ago to watch that one. It finished 1-1, Manchester United eventually winning on what was one of the worst penalty shootouts I've ever seen. 10 penalties taken in total, only 3 scored. It was laughable, so it was, but United did indeed come out victorious. I can tell you there is a match ongoing over in Asia. Singapore is where we're at, and it's currently Chelsea taking on Bayern Munich. I know it's a pre-season friendly. Can't quite believe I'm giving you a score update, but I will do it. I know there are a few fans, Chelsea and Munich fans out there. I can tell you Bayern currently lead this one by 3-1. Rafinha on the score sheet for Bayern. Thomas Müller with a double. Bayern Munich did lead 3-0 after just 26 minutes in this match. I can tell you Marcus Alonso has pulled one back just after the break. So Chelsea, having beaten Arsenal over the weekend 3-0, their first pre-season friendly, a lot of positivity coming out of that. There is still half an hour or so to go in this match, but Chelsea look to be headed for defeat to Bayern Munich.
No, they're paid enough. We'll get the mileage out of them on the friendlies or otherwise. Right, let's move on, Chris. Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather, a step closer, tickets on sale.
Yes.
And Mike Tyson weighing in on this.
Indeed, tickets on sale. We're talking about, fans, true fans being priced out of sporting events. I can tell you the cheapest ticket for that fight, we've labelled it the Big Farce over there in Las Vegas, August 26th. Robbie, I still think, has a couple of spaces on his sofa if you're keen to get involved in that.
If you can't
afford it, come on down to Robbie's house. We are hoping to invite some of our listeners down. But £365. So what's that? Times that by 5, we're looking at about 1,800 dirhams for the cheapest tickets over there. They went on sale last night already. Some tickets changing hand for upwards of $20,000.
Well, half of Ireland will fly over for it. They always do, right?
I'm sure they will.
His fights.
The British fans, again, yeah. It sounds like we're changed the record, Chris, on this. But there will be a lot of Brits, a lot of Irish over there in the corner of Conor McGregor. But good luck in finding a ticket. You need to have deep pockets because they are already on the black market. Dana White, the UFC president, has said be very, very careful in all of this because there is only set seating. I think the T-Mobile Arena, it only holds about 12,000, if memory serves me correct. So it's going to be very difficult. If you've not got your tickets now, it's going to be very difficult if you are looking to head over to Las Vegas. But tickets are on sale. And Mike Tyson, he's essentially saying what we've all said in the past couple of weeks. Conor McGregor is onto a hiding for nothing. He will lose this bout. And he has warned him that he could lose it brutally because he's coming up against a man in Floyd Mayweather who is a class apart.
World Aquatic Championships. Let's move on to
everyone's
this.
Waiting for this.
Yes.
There's a few, I'm sure, swimming fans.
What are you watching there, Chris?
Well, Katie Ledecky is a lady who has done wonderful things in the swimming pool over the past couple of years. She won 4 golds and a silver at the Rio Olympic Games. She's on course for 6 golds at these World Aquatic Games. I can tell you, in her 1,500 metre heat, she is the world record holder over 1,500 metres. She finished 17 seconds ahead of the lady who finished runner-up. What about this for a stat, though? She finished 97 seconds, over a minute and a half quicker than the lady who finished last. That shows the gulf in quality. Katie Ledecky, remember the name. I'm sure a lot of you know who she is. She is an incredible swimmer.
Remember her from the Olympics, for sure.
Her and Missy Franklin are the two big names in US female swimming, and she's essentially tearing it up over there in Budapest in Hungary. And she is on course for 6 goals, and that is remarkable. That is her heat. She ran 22 seconds. She swam 22 seconds off her world record, but it was still 13 seconds quicker than any lady has swum over the 1500 metres this year.
That's class crazy. Apart. Sally, what was it you were watching on CNN from this? Was it the synchronised swimming?
Yes.
It's not a sport.
That's what I wanted to ask Chris, because I had a feeling that he might not approve of this one.
Mind you, before
anyone... Have you ever tried it?
I've never tried it, and I take my hat off, I doff my cap.
You say it's not a sport, but it is so much harder than you think.
I'm not questioning
that. It's
like
gymnastics in the water, but to me, it just looks crazy. I can't follow the whole thing. It's just too much going on, and no.
I'm going to second guess a couple of listeners, because I'm going to tell you now there's going to be 2 or 3 texts coming in saying darts isn't a sport either, Chris, because I often talk up darts on this show. You're probably right to say that it isn't, but no question about it, synchronised swimming is not a sport.
Well, I think, Chris, though, you probably have to be physically fitter to be a synchronised swimmer than you do to be a darts player. Yeah. No disrespect to our friends who come out every year here, but I think there's probably more muscular superiority in those swimmers, right?
Is there ever?
I completely agree with that, by the way, but there's a lot of hand-eye coordination, a lot of skill involved. I don't think the darts boys and girls get enough credit for what they do, but that's a debate we could have long into the night.
Couple of messages coming in here. Sally Udit on the Man Cave says, my wife will never leave me at a man cave anymore. She'd rather that I'm dragged through every shop that she sees. Hashtag mind numbed. Well, thank you for sharing, Udit, and outing your wife there. And Jay says, check out Aussie's Dream, Spurs 1981 FA Cup song. This sums up the difference between then and now players.
Yeah. So true.
If I had a copy of it, Jay, trust me, I'd play it right now.
You would see now. I mean, we saw Stormzy get involved, haven't we? The rapper, I think he's a rapper. I'm not quite up with my cool kids in the world of music. But he took a part in the Paul Pogba transfer deal, and you wouldn't see the likes of Paul Pogba, the big names now, the Ronaldos, the Messis, getting involved, getting into the spirit.
None of them would do the John Barnes England rap now, would they?
No. Absolutely
wouldn't
not.
Happen.
Probably wise as well.
Absolutely. Time for a quick last word, Chris. Have a listen to this.
The last word.
Americans are spending almost $1 million per month on...
Oh, it's long.
Oh, and it's not football.
$1 million on. What are they spending $1 million
Just while Chris has a thought, has a think one more time for you.
The last word.
Americans are spending almost $1 million per month on...
The length of answer, the length of bleep.
You see, you're always looking for clues, Chris. You just got to say the first thing that comes into your head.
If I did that, I would be out of a job. I'd be deported, I think, Claire. I do not know. You've stumped me today.
Come on. What do people spend?
$1 million.
Dollars a
month. Was it a month?
A month.
Toothpicks.
Toothpicks. There you go. Chris McCarty says toothpicks.
Enough.
If you can better his guess of toothpicks, 4001.